Good morning, I'm Gavin.
Good morning, I'm Karen.
So Karen and I are husband and wife. We started this business, food waste composting, about 8 years ago. And if anybody wants to know, it was hell working with your wife until she became the boss, and then everything got a little bit easier.
Well, I think that's the truth of working relationships, especially if you're married. The wife is always the boss.
I remember meeting someone who said that they would never invest in a business that was run by a husband and wife.
I remember that well too.
And he said that because every one of those businesses he had ever invested in failed. So I think probably that we've proven John Wren from Omnicom wrong.
Yeah, we certainly have.
So we started this business in 2010. Karen, can you give us a little bit of background on what that process was?
Well, our business is called Earth Probiotic, and we are a food waste recycling company using probiotic technology. We started out, as you said, about 10 years ago, and I was looking for something to do.
So time's fleeting, because I thought it was 8 years, so you've just added on 2 years.
It's really painful. My maths. Okay, it's 8 years ago.
So 8 years ago, I remember that distinctly.
Yeah, no, you're quite right.
What was the stimulus, do you remember?
I remember it was, we'd come back from Asia, you got a new job. I didn't have a job, I was looking for something to do, and I thought I'd focus on gardening, which I was quite mad about, still am, and recycling. And my research took me to a waste stream, which at that stage was not addressed at all, which is food waste. And I saw an opportunity to utilize food waste in gardens. And I discovered Bokashi food waste recycling.
But I remember before that I'd bought you a worm farm.
You had?
It was a birthday present.
It was a birthday present.
I think it was your 33rd.
Might have been. The children were a little bit freaked out and thought it was the weirdest gift ever. But I thought it was pretty magical, and I still do. And yeah, so we started off with earthworms composting organic waste, which works extremely well. But there is still a segment of food waste that can't be put through a worm farm, such as cooked food, meat, dairy, etc. And that still had to be thrown away. So my research took me again to Bokashi Food Waste Recycling, where you can compost 100% of food waste. And our business was born.
Yeah, I remember that so distinctly, because it was like a miracle that we could take any type of food waste, throw it into this bucket, and then ferment it, and then compost it. I think at that time we only had our little mini schnauzer who had come back via Shanghai and via Amsterdam, and he wasn't really interested in fermented food. I think in Shanghai he probably was spoilt on dumplings or something.
I think I'm still amazed by the fact that it takes a handful of microorganisms that basically get to work in an airtight container, and they sort out this food waste, which in an aerobic environment would rot and smell, create and contribute to greenhouse gases, but in this environment it doesn't.
Because I think that, you know, I got particularly excited about that when we moved into the house, and I remember hating my job in advertising with an absolute passion. I don't know if it was hating advertising or just hating the people that I was, some of the people that I was working with. And then I said, let's start this business. You must have been terrified.
I was terrified. I think I still wake up now thinking, did we do the right thing? But in my heart, I know that we did the right thing. The first few years were extremely tough. And people looked at us as if we'd lost our marbles. What were we thinking? Going into a business, looking at a waste stream which no one cared about, and trying to make money out of it. But I'm very proud of where we are, what we started, the fact that we are still here 8 years later, and we have created a wonderful business.
I still think we were too early in the category.
I agree. Being pioneers is not an easy thing, but you have to have pioneers. And at the time, it wasn't much fun being a pioneer. But I think today I feel very proud of the fact that we're surviving pioneers.
I think it's interesting about being a pioneer, because building a category on your own is really difficult. And that's why we've got a couple of new competitions or competitors in the market at the moment. And we were, for years, we were waiting for the competition to come along so they could actually help us build the category, because while I think food waste if you think of some research has done, is that 60% of household waste from one area of Johannesburg is organic waste, and probably a large portion of that is also food waste. The market's huge, but we couldn't do it on our own, so we always welcome the competition. And while we're very competitive, having competition is actually a good thing when you're doing a new category, because you can't do it on your own, especially if you're just two people and a husband and wife, and the wife's the boss, and the husband gets grumpy because sometimes he also wants to be the boss.
And you can be the boss anytime you
want. No, I never want to be the boss again. You know that I'm really crap at that job.
I think competition is interesting. I think one should never be afraid of competition. I think your competitors keep you on your toes. They inspire you. I think we've been inspired by a competition, and it has encouraged us to always be one up, always be innovative, always think of ways of creating a new markets, new products, and making sure that that the products that we do have are better, more efficient, cost effective, and of course kind to the environment.
Yeah, that's totally right. I think we always think that. I don't think Coca-Cola would be anywhere if Pepsi wasn't there, and vice versa. Or McDonald's wouldn't have been as big as they are without Burger King. So these things are important. And but competition, yeah, I think I like the idea of inspiring, because I think what a competition does is inspire us to innovate. And I think that as a business, we forget how innovative you and I have been.
Well, if you think, when we started with pretty much a 20-litre bucket, a lid. We then needed to put a tap into this bucket, because fermented food waste generates, just as a byproduct, a liquid fertilizer, which is very powerful but very beneficial. And we then, of course, needed a strainer to sit on the bottom of this bucket so that we could separate the leachate from the food waste. And when you think about where we started today, we are now developing in-vessel composting machines that process up to 50 tons of food waste a month. I think that's pretty incredible.
I always think that one of the best innovations that we came up with was the simplest one, which is how to fit a tap into one of those buckets of ours without using glue or anything. And it was a brilliant sort of leap, and I think it was in that period we were drinking lots of box wine, because we couldn't afford bottles, and I think the inspiration came from a box wine tap.
And actually, when you think about the simplicity of this tap, it was one of those aha moments, I suppose, if you think about it like that. Today we still use that technology. We still don't use any sealant at all, and we managed to put a tap into a round bucket. And it's still leak-proof.
So just thinking about sort of inspiration, I think that when we got into this business, and I personally, you are a much better gardener than we are, and I'm sitting around and we've got this misty day in Johannesburg today, but rainy off and on, feels like Cape Town actually, but unfortunately the rain's here, not there. But you know, what really inspired me was starting to really read about microbes and microorganisms. And I think one of the biggest inspirations for me was reading Jeff Lowenfeld's, if that's the right way to pronounce it, Teeming with Microbes book. And I just thought that was brilliant, because suddenly we were introduced to the idea of the food soil web, or the soil food web. Yeah.
And I think that really cemented our passion for microorganisms, and everything we do requires organisms in order to break down organic matter into something usable for soil.
I think that also for me, we used to think about bacteria all the time, and it was bacteria, bacteria, bacteria. And suddenly, I think it's just more recently, we've sort of really become interested in fungi. And we've always, I mean, one of the points of a good fermentation is having that white mycelium on top of the bin, which is a beneficial fungus. But we've also started learning how fundamentally important fungi is to the soil food web. And so people are talking about fungi being the internet of forests, the biggest organisms, and how they can connect trees together in order to communicate with one another. So this whole world that we dived into has been, for me, fascinating. And there's nothing nicer than learning stuff that you never, ever thought you would actually learn in a previous life.
I think that's exactly right. I think it is learning all this stuff, as you put it, when you, especially later in life, when you think that you've learned all the things that you need to learn in order to be at that point in your life. And then suddenly, like what we did, was start a new business completely out of our comfort zone. And we had to learn about all sorts of things that we didn't know previously about. One of them was gardening. So I think, you know, people become avid gardeners, and it is through trial and error. You plant lots of things, you kill lots of things, you learn what survives in different zones, and you learn about the soil. And soil is the most important thing in gardens for growing beautiful flowers, for growing gorgeous food. And the soil food web taught us that without these amazing creatures that live, I think it's 80% of these creatures live in the top 10% of soil. And without them, we wouldn't be able to grow anything. So I always see, in my mind, the soil food web is made up primarily, in my mind, of fungi. And they can be found connected to one another, and to organic matter in soil for miles and miles and miles. I think that's just amazing.
Yeah, I think it's also incredible. So I think we need to order Jeff Lowenthal. You need to give me the budget, boss, to buy his book called Teaming with Fungi. So I think that was the next one that we should get and add to our collection.
I agree.
But I think it's always, for me, what's interesting about, you know, when you start working with soil and working with bacteria, working with the soil food web, you realize how interconnected everything is. And I think that it's quite, for me, often surprising how people don't think of life as interconnected. Of, if I do this, the result will be that, which has a result of that, which has a result that everything works in an integrated way, that they tend to see their lives in different chunks. So buying food doesn't really relate to a farmer, and taking that food home doesn't really relate to a carbon footprint, and buying local or buying foreign stuff that comes from Chile, which is overpackaged always by Woolworths, doesn't really help very much, and then throwing it away, there's not a sort of sense that this is causing an environmental devastation. And I think that, you know, trying to just get people to think in terms of systems rather than parts is, I think, one of our bigger challenges.
I think you're absolutely right, Gavin. I think that everything is connected, and when we sever one aspect of it, it has a domino effect. If you think about, let's just talk about gardens, for instance. So if you just let your garden be, you don't feed it, you don't add any organic matter to it, eventually the wildlife, as in birds, bees and butterflies, and microorganisms will run out of food. And systems within those systems will start to fail. And what you end up with is you can see your plants start to die, your fruit trees stop producing the wonderful yield that they had the last year and the year before. And you, if you don't catch it quick enough, you think, okay, so all I'm going to do is replace it. So my pear tree is no longer producing enough pears, so I'm just going to whip it up, I'm going to put a new one in. But things start to collapse, and it's the same within our society. It's in the same way that we think about rubbish, for example. And we start to see a major breakdown.
Well, I think that one of the interesting things for me was, you know, when we moved into this house, which must have been 6 years ago. Must have been 8 years ago, because we started this business after we moved in.
Yep.
Was that it was a garden that had been subjected to massive amounts of chemicals.
And cats.
And cats. So there was nothing really living here. It was very neat, very tidy. And one of your first instincts was we never use fertilizer or anything synthetic or pesticides or herbicides, inorganic herbicides or pesticides at all. And suddenly we've just got this garden which is completely wild. And we've also seen that without cats, we have hundreds, if not thousands, of lizards living in this garden. Now we have beehives. We have more butterflies. We have more birds. So everything starts coming back, and that's the amazing thing about nature, is that if you nurture it along, or basically don't mess with it, you can end up with this amazing diversity, which leads to a healthy environment for all of us.
I think you've hit the nail on the head in terms of messing with nature. And I think that when you interrupt the natural cycle of things, you do end up with disasters. And we see it. We see it everywhere in our weather patterns. We see it in the disruption of our growing our food, because...
But you know that Donald Trump doesn't agree with you, eh?
I don't think that's a discussion we're going to have on this podcast.
No, you mustn't be scared of publicity. And I think that, you know, what we've been talking about, diversity, gardening, pesticides, fertilizers, all of these things, GMO, because both you and I would agree that for both of us, Monsanto is the big evil. And I just saw an article today that they're linking Roundup, which is in every element of our food chain, to autism. And they've sort of started seeing autistic children actually having the toxicology from Roundup, or what would you call it, glyphosate, weed killers. And these are subjects that I think we're going to investigate, but with other people, because you and I can talk forever. So if you were going to say what our next podcast should be about, what would you... You know, and we want to keep these short. We don't want to spend hours and hours and hours, because we'll lose any listener, or that one listener that we have.
Oh, gosh. Of all the 100 people, thousands of people I'd like to interview, I think we should keep to the topic of soil for now.
Okay, so we're going to talk about soil.
So I think we invite someone that's maybe interested in growing heirloom seeds. That might be an interesting topic.
Oh,
and why you'd grow heirloom seeds.
I think we need to talk about heirloom seeds, because those are the gift that keeps on giving. And if we don't nurture that resource, I think we're going to end up with...
A broken chain.
And our food system will just be reliant on a couple of companies rather than on all of us.
And of course, the worst thing, which is something I don't think a lot of people know, is that the difference between heirloom seeds and Monsanto seeds is heirloom seeds, you'd be able to harvest the seeds for many, many years to come. You can share the seeds forever. Whereas Monsanto seeds will bear fruit or flowers for the first year. You'd be very lucky to get a second crop the second year round, and you have to replant.
Okay, so I think that's what we're going to try and get one of the heirloom seed purveyors on. But if there's anyone else out there that wants us to touch on any topic that you want, we're really happy to take any questions. And I think in terms of podcasting, we are really trying to, if we talk about competition and how competition raises you up, we're really trying to compete with the, is it Alice Fowler from The Guardian, who has a brilliant, brilliant podcast that you should go to. It's called So Grow and Repeat. And so we're sort of thankful that we're just following in her footsteps. But drop us an email at info@earthprobiotic.com if you're interested, and then if you want us to chat about anything that you want to know about or want to explore further. So this is our first podcast. It's a shorty. We're testing and seeing how long we're going to go. And we always believe that, like a garden, it's never going to be perfect, but it's always going to be growing. Thanks very much.
Bye now.